I don't think you need more teachings after the wonderful teaching you and I have already had. I enjoyed them very much. But you must endure yet another teaching. Yesterday evening, somebody asked me, how do we get the Holy Spirit? How can we obtain, be sure that we have the Holy Spirit? And I answered, prayer is the meaning, the means we have at disposal. There is, after all, another way of getting the Holy Spirit, related to prayer, of course, but more to the Word of God. And it is to go through the account of Pentecost. And this desire of speaking about Pentecost was increased as soon as I came here, listening to your song, "Come, Holy Spirit, come, Holy Spirit, let the fire fall." So we want tonight really believe that the fire will fall. I use the account of Pentecost because there is something special about this page of the scripture. And it consists in this. When we read with faith, with an expectant faith, the account of Pentecost, the account ceases being just a story, it becomes reality. What happened that moment happens again. If we believe, in a way, maybe without the tongues of fire or the strong wind, maybe a heavy rain, with a heavy rain, but the Holy Spirit will come. So let us listen to the first four verses of the account of Pentecost, which is Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verses 1-4. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound came from heaven like the rush of a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributed and resting on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. We should make a full stop at this point, because what follows, and they start speaking in different languages, this belongs to the next section. There is even a danger by putting together these two things. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and started speaking in other tongues. And the danger is that we could think that the sign of the coming of the Spirit is that they spoke in different languages, while this was one of the manifestations of the Spirit, not the essence. So let us try to, once at least, to understand fully, not just with the mind, but also with our heart, what happened at that moment? And what happens when Pentecost happens again? First, we notice that when God is doing something very important in the history of salvation, He usually sends preparatory signs before to stir the attention of His creatures and to prepare them for the manifestation of the power of God. So we have two signs here in the account of Pentecost. The first sign is a wind, a noise also of a strong wind. Why the wind? Because the wind in Hebrew has the same name as the Spirit, which is Ruach. And it was precisely starting from the experience of the power of the wind which shakes the cedars of Lebanon and shakes the ocean. It was precisely from the experience of the power of the wind that the revelation brought the people of Israel, to understand something of this different power, spiritual power, creative power of God. So there was the sign of this strong wind, which started preparing the apostles for something supernatural. But the wind exists in two different forms. There is the exterior wind, which blows outside, and there is an interior wind, which is our breath. This is also a kind of wind, more sweet, but is a wind, an air which enters in us and becomes our principle, of vital principle. The breath is what permits us to live, to communicate. If I communicate with you in this moment, it is because the wind, the breath, takes the word which is formed in my mind and conveys it to you. And God has used also this symbol of the breath to tell us something about the Spirit. At the beginning, God breathed on Adam, and Adam became a living creature. The day of Easter, when Jesus appeared in the synagogue, he breathed on the face of the apostles and said, what? Receive the Holy Spirit. So you see, the day of Pentecost, the gift of the Spirit, is accompanied by the mighty wind. But the day of Easter, it is accompanied by the breath. What does this mean? Because as I said yesterday evening, the scripture always speak about the Holy Spirit with symbols: wind, water, fire. What does it mean that the Holy Spirit is presented, revealed to us as a wind and as a breath? It means that the Holy Spirit is a power, the power of God, and is the intimacy of God. Because the breath enters in us, becomes our vital principle. So the Holy Spirit is really the creative power in the world, and is the guest, the sweet guest of our soul. Then there was another sign, this time for the eyes. The first was for the air, noisy. And now there is a sign for the eyes. They saw something, tongues as of fire. And again, the fire is a symbol of refining power of God in the Bible, a refining and inflaming power of God. But this is not yet Pentecost. Pentecost, the essence of Pentecost, is encompassed in this short phrase. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. A very common phrase which we have heard many, many times in our life. Let us try tonight, in this very simple, modest setting, let us try once to understand what happened, because something very dramatic must have happened at this moment. Because we see the apostles transformed in an instant from being very quarrelsome and timid, they become men of courage, unanimous, one soul. What happened? It's very simple to answer this question. Very simple. They were inundated. They were submerged by the love of God. Because the Holy Spirit is the love, the fire which goes between the Father and the Son in the Trinity. So now this fire, this love, as invaded, inundated the apostles. They have made an overwhelming experience of being loved by God. And it is St. Paul who explains Pentecost in this way, luckily, not I. He says, Romans 5:5, the love of God, which in this point means the love of God for us, not our love for God. The love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. This is a short account of Pentecost. Pentecost is this, the love of God being poured into our hearts. Now, if love can change the life of a person, maybe you, many of you are married, so who are engaged, maybe you, better than I, you have an experience what the coming of love, becoming, falling in love means in life. It's a new energy, a new light, a new hope in life. So if the human love can achieve this, can change the rhythm of a human life, what must have happened to the apostles who were inundated with the love of God? So Pentecost is about the love of God. Why now? Why just now at Pentecost? Well, there is an explanation. God had created the world to communicate his love to his creatures, to share his Trinitarian happiness and love with his creatures. Sin had blocked this plan of God. Rebellion. Adam had said no. So God had to invent a history of salvation, a story of salvation. He chose a people. He gave a revelation to these people, prepared through the prophets, prepared the coming of his son on earth. Then Jesus came on earth. He died on the cross and destroyed the wall, because there was between us and God, objectively speaking, there was a wall, the wall of sin. So Jesus dying on the cross destroyed this wall. And by raising from the dead, he restored life. And as Jesus promised, the Holy Spirit, which is his Spirit, the Spirit coming from the pierced side of Jesus, now can come and share the Trinitarian love and happiness with these creatures. So Pentecost is not just an optional, something added. No, it's the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of Jesus, making the redemption achieved by Jesus available at any time, even tonight, to every person. So the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus making present and active redemption to every person who believes. Isn't that a wonderful piece of news? Yes, Pentecost is fulfillment of the plan of God. And any time when we ask for a new Pentecost, we ask for a new experience of love of God. Jesus had foretold that. He said a few days before, he said to the apostles, you know, John Baptist baptized in water, but you shall be baptized in the Holy Spirit in a few days. Or what happened a few days after that? 10 days after that? Pentecost. So Jesus explained Pentecost as a baptism in the Spirit. Only we must know what be baptized meant for at that time. For Jesus, for John the Baptist, for the people who wrote the New Testament, what meant to be baptized? Not just receiving some drops of water on the head. It meant to be completely immersed in water, completely. So Jesus was saying, you shall, in a few days, you shall be completely immersed in the love of God. This is the explanation of the baptism in the Spirit. Do you desire that? Do you desire? I desire. Anytime I speak about that, I don't speak because I have already achieved everything. It is always with desire, with desire. I share with you my desire to be time and again being immersed in the love of God, which is the source of every love. We can say a wonderful thing about the mission of man, husband, father. But we know, unless the love of God comes upon us, we have no capacity of loving, even our children, your children. You need, especially to persevere in love, persevere in loving a child, even if the child doesn't respond to your hopes. For that, you need to share something of the merciful and enduring love of God. Let us go a little forward now. Or are you already filled with the Holy Spirit and don't want to listen to anything more? Let us go a little farther and see what happened after that. Now, there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one heard them speaking in his own language. And they were amazed and wondered, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthian and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we heard them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others, mocking, said, "They are filled with new wine," which is what happens even today. At the news of a new Pentecost going around in the church, some are convinced and are astonished. And others say, "Oh, these charismatics, they have been drinking too much new wine." Well, let us try to draw some teachings from this section of the account. What it says is that the Holy Spirit, the first impulse the Holy Spirit gives to the people is to go out, to reach out and spread the gospel. As soon as they receive the Holy Spirit, they leave the cenacle and go into the street and started preaching Jesus. We shall see maybe tomorrow evening how Peter proclaimed the kerygma. The mystery of Jesus. "You have killed him. God has raised him from the dead. What shall we do? Repent," and so on. But for the moment, let us stay for a while upon this passage. So the Holy Spirit pushed the church to go out, to reach out, to share the good news. There is also another message in this section, a message which Martin Luther focused, explained. everybody knows that St. Luke describes the phenomenon of tongues, he wanted to allude that now something happens which reverses what happened at Babel. So Pentecost is the antithesis of Babel. At Babel, they spoke one single language, and at a certain point, nobody could understand the other. Now they speak all different languages. This is why there is this list of peoples, and everybody understands the apostles. Why? Let us, for a moment, turn to Genesis 11, the episode of Babel. And let us listen to what the builders of Babel say. They say, come, let us build a city with a tower in the middle of it, whose top will reach the sky. Let us make a name for ourselves so that we should not be scattered over the face of the earth. Let us make a name for ourselves so that we shall not be scattered over the face of the earth. First of all, we should know that the builders of Babel were not atheistic persons who wanted to defy God. No, they wanted to build a temple. They were very religious people, which put them quite close to us. In fact, they wanted to build one of these temples whose ruins are still to be seen in Mesopotamia, which are called Ziggurat. Where is the sin then? Listen again. Here Martin Luther saw the problem. They say, let us make a name for ourselves. They don't build the tower to honor God, but to make a name. They were pushed by the will of power. Maybe they thought that by offering sacrifice from a higher position, they would oblige God to give them victories over the other peoples. So they instrumentalized God. They want to build a temple to God, but not for the glory of God, for their own glory. So you see the tremendous message hidden in this section. St. Augustine wrote a very famous work upon this symbol, the city of God. He says that there are two cities being built in the world. There is the city of Satan, which is called Babel, Babylonia. And there is the city of God called Jerusalem, which started the day of Pentecost. Now, these two cities are built upon a different love. The city of God is built upon love for God, which can go till the sacrifice of self. And the city of Satan is built upon love for oneself, which can go till the rejection of God. But the main message of St. Augustine is that these two cities are two working places open in the history till the end of the world. And each one of us must choose in which one of these two working places he wants to spend his or her life. Every initiative, my preaching, as your association, as even at the Mass we shall celebrate in a moment, everything, even the most spiritual, can be either Babel or Pentecost. It is Babel if in doing that we seek explicitly, willingly, our own glory, affirmation, or the affirmation of our group, our order, our movement. It is Pentecost if we, in spite of the natural feeling of succeed, of being recognized, in spite of natural feelings we may have, with our will, we decide that we don't want to work for our own glory, to make a name for ourselves. We want to work for the glory of God. Then it is Pentecost.